Good morning. It's September the 15th. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read it to you once again from Brother Melva Burkis. In this chapter in Luke, we have the record of the disciples of John the Baptist coming to ask Jesus whether he was the one who should come, or look we for another. Brother Burkis recognises that some suggest that this casts doubt on the strength of John's faith, but then writes this: "Whilst we may say that, knowing human nature, this was yet possible, we also have to face the fact that John's doubt would have been a betrayal of his divine calling. He had been given the Holy Spirit from his birth. His whole mission was guided by God's power. It was thus that he had departed into the deserts. It was thus that he knew when the time had come for him to lift up his voice and call the multitudes to him. Above all, it was in this way, by his own acknowledgement, that he recognised the Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that his work would only be successfully accomplished when his influence waned before the greater light of the Messiah whose path he prepared." And does not this last consideration give us the clue to the real meaning of that journey which two of John's disciples undertook? John no longer needed or desired disciples. His work was finished. Any who clung to him in spite of his protestations were an embarrassment to him. Yet there were those who did cling. They remained faithful to him, even after he had been carried away to the confinement in prison. They had no intention of leaving him to join the disciples of Jesus. There is evidence that the Pharisees had seized the opportunity of antagonizing some of them against Jesus. Doubtless, John had finally persuaded most of his followers to leave him and go to Jesus. But some were stubborn to the end and would not be persuaded that Jesus was the Christ. Is it not possible that John, realizing the temper of these two men, decided to allow Jesus to convince them himself by his works? Alone, they would never have gone to him, but armed with a commission, they went obediently enough. John, obeying the Lord's precept to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, had probably sent them to examine the claims of Jesus and come within his influence, knowing that Jesus would understand his motive and convince them. That Jesus responded is evident from Luke's account. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus sent the two back to John with a parting message meant not for the prisoner, but for them. "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." We can imagine two very thoughtful disciples making their long journey southeastwards. And when finally they arrived and recounted to John all that Jesus had done, can we not hear the voice of the austere prophet, still strong and resolute? "Now will ye not believe him?" If indeed he ever saw them again, for the end was at hand. But we may hope that they were among the many blind whom Jesus healed. Thus we may believe that the greatest prophet went to his death not saddened by doubts which could only detract from his greatness, but with a last faithful effort to fulfil his vocation of directing men to the Messiah. John had been raised up to introduce God's Son. No greater work could have been assigned to mortal man. What a privilege was his. And in some ways, that same privilege is ours. Thank you for listening to me.